So what's up, man?
Cool, man.
Chillin', chillin'.
Yo, you know I had to call. You know why, right?
Why?
'Cause yo, I never ever call and ask you to play something, right?
Yeah.
You know what I want to hear?
What you wanna hear?
I want to hear that AP Supercast joint.
AP Supercast again?
Oh yeah, again and again. Protect your neck.
Welcome to episode 190 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Nine Rings of Wu-Tang by Brian Haberlin and Aaron Bullock. And now, the cast begins.
That's like the whitest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another old dirty episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
Jen.
Hello.
And special guest Nick.
Pleasure to be back again. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we had to bring you back.
Can you guys call me the Dizza for this episode?
The Dizza, the Nizza.
No.
The Jizza isn't to be taken, so we've got to come up with something else.
No,
for
the Jen. The Jen, like the Jin, but you know.
That works.
She was in this comic.
Yeah, wait, was that her name?
I think
I was honestly
trying
to
just like
no, I think the
noun
Jen
for it.
I thought the Jen was what that guy was.
That samurai. That other character literally had no name, as far as I can tell.
The lady? No, she didn't.
Wait, you mean the pony? Do you mean the ponytail?
I think I have it loaded. No, I don't have it loaded up. I don't know.
After he gets his second eye and he changes from like an amorphous blob man into a...
Yeah, that guy. That's the Jen.
No,
yeah.
He is the Jen, which is like a short for genie. But yeah. After he gets the second eye in and takes a mortal form, oh, what is his name? Elios or something?
Oh, King Elion.
Elion.
Yeah, is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he... And then there was another guy in the waterfall who was the same guy. But he was Silver Bear.
No, oh, that wasn't the same guy.
I know it wasn't the same guy. They just had the same haircut.
He looked very similar.
No,
the Super Mean King, was he also the same guy?
No, like that's the start? North Wind. The North
he
Wind.
Was different. The one I'm thinking, the one I think that didn't even have a name was the woman that wanted to die and would shape change into everything from like a little girl to a bird to Rob Schneider to an old woman to a green monster thing.
I think Green Monster Thing was her natural form.
Yeah.
Probably. Probably.
She had a beard. That was confusing.
Oh, yeah.
So we can tell right off the top that this comic is just steeped in lore and mythology and rich world building.
Well, yeah, I mean...
David, this is you gotta be all up into this comic, right?
Well, yes.
This is gangsta world building right here.
Okay.
Definitely something.
Let's see. What is this comic about? The Moors, I guess? Are they about the Moors? Are they Moorish warriors?
Yes? No,
maybe?
Supposed to be?
So here's the problem. I realize it's only actually five issues. Like, I thought, you know, this was like the first... Oh, you know, like Ecstatics, there's like 20 issues and this is the first five. There are only five.
This is it?
Yeah,
yeah,
this is
zero
it.
To five. This is
all
it.
Of it. So I have a feeling they did that thing where it's like, we're going to build a world and we're going to build it very slowly. And it's like, no, you're not. So more would have come out. Like, we would have figured out, okay, yeah, they are Moors from Andalusia and whatever, but none of that gets...
Well, like, there's like an intro to the first issue.
Yeah.
Okay, issue one, not issue zero. Where
right.
It says, this first issue is to serve as a bit of an introduction to the characters and world of the Nine Rings of the Wu-Tang. We felt that with nine characters to serve during the first story arc, it would be better to do a sort of get-to-know-you story rather than jumping right in. Next issue, we start the first epic story. We hope you'll be there for it. So, I think that... The whole thing was get-to-know-you, because... And I think probably the following issues were supposed to be get to know you also, because I don't know what the fuck I just read.
Yeah, it kept going back and forth to our time and to wherever before. They didn't say the year, so eight. I know the Moors invaded in 711 because that's a nice easy number to remember, and that's literally the year they invaded Spain.
Oh yeah,
history's a passion. So it probably took place sometime around then. But I mean, that's the thing, is like it jumps back and forth between this and that and does all sorts of weird things, and there's just no structure whatsoever. It is some kind of wonderful.
So yeah, there's like,
so how accurate is this to the Moorish diaspora?
You know, Tariq, what's his name? The guy who named Gibraltar's named after. He was right in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there obviously were like dinosaurs and eagles that they could ride and stuff in northern Spain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've not been to Spain, but I can only imagine that this comic would have been well researched and accurate.
See, I have, but I was in southern Spain where they still have like, like the underwater dinosaur, so I didn't see anything on the beach. So I can't deny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how many members are there of Wu-Tang?
Of like in IRL?
Wu-Tang? Yeah, IRL.
Well, I think there is 9, but they've had some members come and go.
But like it's kind of like, you know, someone will move on and then someone else will come up.
Okay. There's only one that I knew.
They replenish their ranks.
Okay. There's only one that I knew by name, and that was RZA.
Good. Yeah. That's the one to know.
Okay. So he's currently still a member.
Wait, so the Wu-Tang Clan still exists?
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang Clan is forever.
Thousands of years later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still a warrior. Have you seen Highlander? He is Juan Villalobos, whatever his full name is.
Juan Villalobos.
You mean Sean Connery?
Sean Connery played a Spaniard in that movie?
Are you serious? It's Sean Connery.
Hey, the only Highlander I'm aware of is the Adrian Paul TV show.
Oh my God.
I've managed to never watch one of the movies.
Okay, you need to go do that because it's fucking Sean Connery.
That's like what I know of Highlander.
He's a Spanish dude and like he's got a Spanish mustache and everything, but he's got the Scottish accent.
At any point does he say welcome to the Rock?
No, I don't think so. Or, he says there can be only one.
Mish Manny Penny. I used to think I had a good Sean Connery accent because I can hear my own voice. I can't hear my voice. I can only hear what I think it is. So imagine my surprise last time I did this podcast and I heard myself and I sound just like Kermit the Frog. So I'm imagining every time I've ever done a Sean Connery impression. It's just been a train wreck.
It's not bad.
Much like this comic.
Better than me.
I can tell that that's what you're going for.
Yeah, I would sound like Australian / South African.
Good eye, Mish Money Penny.
Exactly.
So let's try to get back on track a little bit here.
First thing I got to bring up is, We kind of talked about this a little bit already. How do you pronounce these three-letter names? Like, RZA is RZA, right? What's right. MZA? MZA?
MZA. So MZA. That is an alias of Method Man.
I had never heard MZA as an alias for Method Man.
I didn't either. I had to Google that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, I did my research, because that's why I went to grad school. So, apparently, Method Man is actually short for Mr. Meth. I've read that somewhere. I'm like, that's not shorter.
That's more letters.
Yeah. Maybe I read it wrong, or maybe I just read some like really stupid source, but I saw that. I also researched some of their videos because I will admit, like aside from random stuff that kind of incidentally passed me by in the 90s, I had never listened to anything. So I went on YouTube and watched a few of the music videos, and in The Mystery of Chess Boxin', I know I'm coming off as like super offensive here, and super, super white, but, in that they do say Mizza, Rizza, and Jizza.
Okay, so
there's your definitive answer.
It is Jizza. Because we talked about this before the show on chat, and I was like, okay, is it Jizza or Gizza? I don't want to get into a GIF-JIF thing, but like, Gizza, that's like, okay, that's G-Z-A. Jizza is like jizzing.
Yeah.
No, you're the only person who, like,
see, because I think that would be awesome. That's a unique thing to brag about.
Like, he's the Jizza, no less.
Yeah. I'm the Jizza. Look at all of this that came out of me.
Like a jar of mayonnaise.
Like, I mean, money, women, those are things that you can earn and cultivate throughout your lifetime. And the other is just, I don't know, like a gift from God. It's far more worth bragging about. So there's the three. Oh, and there's Deck.
Inspect-a-deck. He is an inspector. Yeah. He will just sit and listen to you and pick apart your lies. That's a real thing, by the way. I'm just letting you know. Exactly.
See, Nick, you gotta know, if you make a reference to their actual music, I will not pick up on it today.
It's fine. As I said, the right people will get it. There's actually a lengthy bit where ODB explains all of the nicknames if you ever decide to listen to 36 Chamber, just so you know.
ODB is Old Dirty Bastard.
Or Osiris, as he's known.
Osiris.
Yeah.
He's the Oracle, right?
Although, you know, I think I seem to remember him being referred to as Osiris in a song.
He has been. Actually, if you ever are bored enough, you can go on TV Tropes and their Wu-Tang Clan main page. We'll have all of their nicknames.
Okay.
That site is glorious.
Like an entire page in and of itself.
Did you guys...
being my favorite.
Happen to look at Wu-Tang name generators?
No.
Because I did. Just Google that shit. It's amazing.
That's how Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, that's how he got his rap name.
Really?
Yeah. So you know the rest of the story.
Okay, just the first one? Just type in Wu-Tang generator and you go, okay, hold on. What do I put in? My full name.
Okay, I'll do me too.
Everyone's doing
this. Okay, let's all do it. Let's all do it right now.
And just for the folks listening to us at home, the reason we're doing this is because this was a very... very bad comic.
Oh, mine's not bad.
Yeah, I kind of like
yeah,
it.
Mine
what was yours?
Pretty good.
Okay, go, David, you go first.
Mine is Mad Assassin.
Nice.
Not the Dizza like we thought. It's Mad Assassin.
Nice, nice. Okay, Jen.
Vangelical Surgeon.
Oh.
I got Intellectual Swami.
Nice, that's a good one.
Yeah, because I'm intellectual.
Wacko Conqueror.
Wait, what?
Wacko Conqueror.
That one wins.
I'm the happiest man alive right now. When I typed in, you know, just my initials, I got Amateur Observer. I'm like, no, I'm going to type out the entire full name.
So I just, I use a different name generator. And I think, I don't know if this is better than Mad Assassin. It might be. Okay, it's Monolithic Fishmonger X.
That's way better.
Oh my god.
Fantastic.
Maybe one of these could be the name of our podcast after episode 200. Monolithic Fishmonger Show. No, okay.
X. I need the X.
Well, the X is for extreme, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Exciting.
Speaking
of... You could not have said that less excitingly. Exciting.
You know, it's just the comic. I mean, it. You know, I was reading all five yesterday. That's when I did my homework, and it really was just every page I would alt tab to do whatever. It took me. It was only five comics. Each one's 24 pages.
Yeah,
it took me like 4 hours to read because after every page, I was just so like, I'm gonna go do something else right now. I'm gonna play an entire game of Minesweeper instead of reading this. I mean, why do you think half of this so far has been just coming up with our own Wu-Tang names? Because there really is not much to recommend to this comic.
Well, I don't know, like... Okay. Was there any cohesive or... Like, there's the story of them with the amulet and... what's the... Elyon, right?
Sure, why not?
I keep hearing Elliot in my head.
Elyon,
okay. So like all, so in these five issues, they just kind of set up the antagonist. Right, but at the end of it, I still didn't know who the fuck was who. I reckon the only one I knew who was Ghostface Killah.
Yeah, because he has the most. Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's identifying.
I recognize U-God also, or Golden Arms as he's called.
Yeah,
here.
And you had to know Inspector Deck because he's,
oh, yeah,
the
he's one with the goggles,
like Snake Eyes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is he the one? Who has the goggles on his head?
The Jizza.
Jizza.
Oh,
okay. Oh, the genius. Yeah. Well, and RZA is
Prince Rakim. I recognize him.
Yeah.
But I always get Prince Rakim and Raekwon confused in the comic because they both had, like, kind of goldenish armor at times.
Yeah.
So I was like, and they both have our names.
And they occasionally call RZA, they call him Ray, or Ra, and they call Raekwon Ray. So there's one letter difference between the two.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
And the thing is, the art, okay, actually, I liked the art. It reminded me, I don't know if anyone's ever played the Exalted RPGs. But it reminded me a lot of the comics that they would put at the start of every chapter there. So the art was kind of cool for me. But all the characters look very, 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 very similar.
You know, and now so that I you mention have... it. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go on.
No, go on.
It really does look like the art from Exalted.
Yeah.
Like, they copied it or something.
Yeah. I was actually, if I had cared enough, I was going to go look at some of my old books and see. But that was way too much effort for this comic.
So, the thing about this comic, which is kind of baffling to me, is that if you actually summarize it really quickly, it sounds like a at least standard premise. And it's that, like, there is a dangerous beast that is going to destroy the world that is also called King Elyon, and the Wu-Tang Clan has to defeat it. And it's like, okay.
Well, there's more to... I think there's more to it than that, though, right? I mean... This king called the North Wind?
Was he the guy who, like, learned 35 of the 36 chambers and then...
Well, I got the notion that he was the guy who...
He was the douchey king.
He was the one that looked like He-Man, right?
Yeah. And he was the one who, like, had the wizard or witch guy release the gen.
See,
even we're trying to still piece together this thing, by the way.
And so there's all that stuff, and then there's the story about the scientist or archaeologist, Charles.
Yeah, in the present.
Yeah.
And so he's like the present incarnation of someone?
I think
he can resurrect the Wu-Tang Clan?
Like the great-great-million whatever grandson of Prince Rakim. I'm pretty sure.
And so he has to stop him, but he's also like a guy, he's also like Paul Atreides from Dune. Because there's the part where the future blonde ponytail guy tells him that fear is the mind killer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there, he's basically a Bene Gesserit witch. I don't know what's happening in this comic, guys.
See, I think that's like the main premise isn't bad. Like, if you just read the first page of issue number one, you're like, okay, that's kind of neat. Like, there's the Shaolin thing, and then there's a clan of the Shaolin monks, and the one guy survives, and there's the 36 chambers, which are like the different techniques of his tree of martial knowledge, and so he gets a clan, and his clan are near invincible, and they go and save people from things. Like, all of that's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Except then there's like another layer on top of that, and then let's throw in this other crap, and oh, I had a neat idea. Let's put it in for two pages here and never mention it again. And oh yeah, there's this thing. Let's make them Moorish too. Fuck it, why not, right? Nobody knows about the fucking Moors. Nobody will question it. They'll think it's real history. Whatevs. Like, there's all kinds of just like extra things piled in here for like no good reason except to confuse you?
I feel like the Moor thing makes a bit more sense because it gives like more of a historical context. Like, so much of the like history and media that we get is that's Western focuses on white people, and if you like look back in time, it's like all about white people. So it's really in the stories of, like, you know, the medieval Moors where you get people of other ethnicities doing things that are interesting or brave or heroic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it kind of makes sense there that you just go with that setting, so at least, like, there, it feels more grounded in a historical context.
Well, also, I don't know if anyone ever watched like the original Shaft, Dolomite, all those other blaxploitation movies from the 70s, but that was essentially, I mean, it's essentially that kind. Like, this is a blaxploitation comic, essentially. So it's like, let's take these characters, and okay. They are the Wu-Tang Clan, for those of you who don't know, the rappers are black. Surprise. Spoiler alert. So they had to explain it somehow, why this rap group in the 700 ADs is why they're black, and yeah, you would take the Moors.
I still, like, I'm super dubious about their, like, Shaolin Kung Fu.
Well, okay, like, the Moorish stuff aside, then, like, you remember that scene that was on a battlefield where there's a dude in armor who shouts out Osiris, and then there's another dude not in armor who shouts out Osiris, but he turns out to be Osiris? He's, like, calling his name out?
Very much so.
And they, like, fight? I don't remember what the hell that fight was for.
Well, it was in the first issue, which really should have just been called Compelling Scenes from a Better Comic. Because, if you read just that first issue, you're like, I really want to see more of this. Because every single one of those is just like, it's framed as some old guy is telling the Paul Atreides scientist archaeologist from the future, telling him about what happened in the past. And so it's just every couple of pages, it's a 2 or 3 page self-contained in media res story, and you're getting just the best part. You would read just that and you go like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then the second comic is just like, what's going on here? I have no idea. We have to tell a long form story that's not very interesting? Okay.
See, and that's the thing. I think the bigger problem is that, like, we get 6 issues here, right? And we'll disregard the first one and just say 5. Yeah. And it basically takes those 5 issues to introduce the main antagonist, which the process requires the introduction and elimination of, like, 3 other protagonists or antagonists. So, yeah. Like, there's the transforming demon looking woman who ends up becoming just a pathetic non-tagonist, right? Like, I don't even know what her deal is. There's the 4 horsemen. Was she one of the 4 horsemen and, like, the other 3 died in that cave?
I think the evil king is one of the 4 horsemen.
Oh, but the evil king dies to Elyon.
Does he?
Yeah, Elyon kills the king to take his place, doesn't he?
Okay,
I might have just made that up in my head.
I think that's honestly a pretty compelling story and should have been what happened.
But it's like, and then okay, well then there's also the king, right? And it's like, okay, there's a whole lot of things circling around here, and I feel like after 5 issues, one of them should have connected. Something somewhere should have connected. Instead, they're just like throwing crap on the wall and just kind of not even seeing what sticks, just like, throw this on the wall. Throw more on the wall. Like, don't even wait to see what sticks. Don't even, like, try to, I don't know, hit a similar spot on the wall. Or this analogy sucks. You know what I mean, though. It's just, like, put more in there and fuck it.
It's that kind of, like, I had a really good idea yesterday. And then they would just add that to the thing. And now that I'm looking through page down, I don't think Elyon, the Northern King Wind guy, I don't think he appears after the 2nd issue. So
puts all this emotion and then just fucking chills back and forgets about his birthday.
Oh, here we are, 3. That's where he last appears, screams son of a bitch, then throws his angel dude into the wall, which honestly was a very good introduction for a character, and then that guy just never appears again. I bet you he would have appeared more if this had lasted more than 5 issues. But it didn't, because it was not very good. I'm trying to think. Also, I was going to ask real fast, did anyone else, like, okay, did it end prematurely for anyone else? Like, I'm showing the last comic is 24 pages instead of 26 like the rest, and it doesn't say to be continued, it just says, these are the events that began to shape the women. But yeah, okay, so this thing, I mean, for all we know, maybe the next 2 pages on this could have been, like, transformative and totally changed everything.
The entire story of that character, though, never once crossed over with the Wu-Tang Clan, did it?
No, it didn't.
Like, they never ran into each other even a little bit.
And she doesn't, as far as I know, she doesn't have a name.
And the most intimidating thing I ever saw her do was use her vagina.
Yeah, well, when she... Actually, you know, I'll be honest. The way they introduced her, I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'd like to see what happens more with this character. And then it's just like, I want to die! Please kill me! I'm like...
She just became emo.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, maybe if this had gone into issue 7, maybe she would have become amazing. And, you know, to be fair, the last couple pages she's in where she cuts off that bear thing guy's nuts, like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I was a fan of her there, but...
And I really was hoping for a lot out of issue 5 because the cover has her looking badass with, like, a fucking axe and everything, and I'm like, yeah, my forte is badass chicks, let's do this. And then it's just like, I want to die, let me die.
One pages of the modern-day scientists learning that there's demons and stuff in the modern world. And then the last 3 pages are cool stuff happening.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It was all that stuff. I forgot about all that.
It was a huge letdown, because honestly, even the issue before, I was kind of starting to get into it. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, we're going to have an entire issue about how ODB is Jesus. You know, he's the prophet, and he's going to go do amazing things. I'm like, well, that's cool. I can't wait to see issue 5. Does not mention it whatsoever. The Wu-Tang Clan is not in issue 5, the penultimate issue, at all.
Yeah. Did that character even have a name, the demon woman?
Pretty sure
no,
she did.
I don't know what it... No.
So we have maybe? 9 male characters, all with names, and the only female character in this comic is basically having sex, turning into a demon, and not even getting a proper name.
Well, I think the angel might... No, you know what? Neither of the angel people have names either. At one point, they don't call her Dolly. Never mind.
Well, and even, like, straight up, if you... I didn't want to go super feminist on this, because I'm in feminist, like, overload now, reading Tumblr and stuff, and I'm like, yes, I get it, I understand.
Hey, preaching now's choir. The time. It's fine.
I know it needs to be said. But honestly, when I was reading this, I was getting annoyed, because the only time you ever saw a woman, she was either getting hit on or having sex.
Oh, no, she was also tending wounds.
Oh, or yes.
Being kidnapped. She does get to murder some guys, and that's good. So, you know, it looks like they may have been angling to put some... as I said, I'm a Wu-Tang Clan fan. That rhymes. So I might be a little defensive. But, I mean, it looks like they were angling to put some stuff in there later on. But, yeah, this thing got canceled. You know, the sad thing is it got canceled 5 issues too late. I feel bad. Yeah.
See, or you know what even would have been better? Like... Part of the problem might even just been the premise that they were trying to build a coherent, like, ongoing story. Maybe what they should have done is just had the frame narrative of, like, the archaeology dude and the monk from Out of the Sword just, like, start and end every episode and have them just be, like, little, like, 1 or 2 issue, like, quick vignettes of a story that didn't necessarily connect but maybe kind of did. You know?
Yeah, like the same characters, yeah. Like the small adventures that the Wu-Tang Clan has.
Because I feel like that's what they wanted to do.
That would have been fantastic.
Because you get 5 issues here with like 3 or 4 different stories all kind of happening at the same time, but none of them really do anything. I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, because that first issue was the best one, issue 1.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're absolutely
right. They
should
have just kept doing that.
Like, I mean, if it had just been, like, hi, I'm an old man from the past, I'm going to tell you a story every week, I'd be perfectly fine with story time with RZA. That would be great.
Story time with RZA.
This is what it should have been called. You know, hey, not even going to lie, his movie, Man with the Iron Fist, that's essentially what they did. It was just, we're going to tell one story, and then that's it. We don't need to build a world. We don't need to do this, that, the other thing. Although apparently the original cut of that movie was like 4 hours long. But even the uncut version that I have is only like 2.5. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, that's the one point where I will give RZA and all them credit is this is sincere. It's legit. It's not at any point. They're not winking. They're not saying, hey, we're being meta or ironic or whatever. It's they grew up reading reading a ton of manga, actually, watching a ton of anime, and more importantly, watching like those old Shaw Brothers martial arts movies, and loving every minute of it. And so, like in the movie, Man with the Iron Fist, they just shoved all of those old martial arts tropes into those movies, and not to make fun of it or anything like that, but just because it's a martial arts movie, it needs to have that. So I feel kind of like likewise. Like as you said before, it looks like they just threw all these plot elements in, and it's because they're like, oh, we love comic books so much, we're just gonna, let's just let our imaginations go wild. And it seems kind of like they did that, and they just need an editor. And in fact, I'm looking at these credits here. Plot by, art by, colored by, lettered by, director and marketing sales. At no point is there an editor.
I was like, how they, director and marketing sales, like, oh my god.
Bill J. This was the highlight of his career.
You go, Bill.
See, yeah. I would have put in my Wu-Tang name.
This way, the Bill J, this is now the Bill J podcast.
The Bizza.
The Bizza.
Yeah, it really needed an editor. Like, even just a proofreader.
Yeah.
Like, they spelled, like, place names differently throughout it. And...
Page one, even. They call it Andalusia, S-I-A. And then Andalusa, S-U-A, or U-S-A, which was just kind of,
There's also a point where they call it Enthropy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're and it's in places. It's like, oh, no.
Hey, you know, that's hard, all right? The English language, there's a lot. There's 26 letters, okay?
See, that's... like, this is part of the problem of when we did that So Bad It's Good arc, is that, like, the Blue Water comics didn't have editors either. And the Lady Gaga... No, what did you read? The Black Eyed Peas comic was
actually
not bad.
I read the Black Eyed Peas comic, yes.
And the Betty White comic was pretty good, too.
Black Eyed Peas comic was, like, this kid, like, traveled into the computer and, like Tron style and, like, learned about the Black Eyed Peas and...
that sounds
became
kinda...
a better person because of it or something. I don't know.
I will say there. Okay, this is on a lot of lists, and I think we're all going to agree this is not a good comic. This is on a lot of lists. When I didn't bother looking this up before I put it on our reading schedule. But after it was on the reading schedule, and I looked it up. It's on a lot of lists of like most terrible comics you could read.
So bad, it's bad comics.
No, but I think. Thinking back on the last, I don't know, 3 years we've been doing this show, or is it four? I don't know.
Four.
Yeah, four. Christ on a stick. Last 4 years of the show, I can think of three worse comics that we've read off the top of my head pretty easily.
Is one of them Spawn? One of them Spawn.
Hell yes, one of them is Spawn.
Of course
Fuck
it is.
That comic.
Which was also an Image comic from the 90s, I'm just going to say. I mean, this is the same studio. Do you think there's a relation?
Was written by Todd McFarlane under a pen name.
Nah, there's not enough pouches in this comic.
No,
there's and the a hair lot... is way too contained.
And the, you know, and the feet look like feet. Oh, no, that's Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, that's Liefeld.
I was going to say that this is a 90s comic and didn't have very many pouches, but then also, I mean, this isn't a superhero comic. This is supposed to be history. So for, you know, 711 AD... That's an awful lot of pouches.
Hey, wait a second. How many members are there, Wu-Tang? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
There's nine.
This son?
Yeah, we did. Okay. And there's 9 rings. So is each one of them a ring?
That's got to be the explanation, because honestly, I have not seen a single ring in this entire thing.
No, they talked about the rings in, like, the last issue. They said, like, this phase of history is the 9th ring, which is the labor before the birth.
Oh!
Whatever that means.
You know what? Honestly, that was the point where I was just skimming the text boxes and just reading dialogue.
Yeah, at the end I was not reading text boxes either. Although I did appreciate the last one when it started to make like cosmic grandiose statements. Yeah. They were sitting on the page of just space.
Yeah, that's the one where they talk about the ring.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, come on, you couldn't put something there? Like, just rings in space or something? It's just space.
That's a thing, and I don't know what it's called, but there's like a sacred alphabet and a sacred numerology. I can't remember it. I'm not even going to try and explain it, because if I did, I would just come off as like a pretentious douchebag. But it's
I do that every week.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a man of the people. I'm a true anarchist. And what was I saying? Oh, yeah, no, and that's the thing. So, like, that whole, the numbers, and the Wu-Tang Clan is really into it. So, like, zero isn't actually a number, and then, like, certain letters are sacred and that kind of thing. It's a big, I want to say a Black Panther thing, but that's probably just me being a dumb white guy saying that.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to contest it.
It's on Wikipedia somewhere. People can look it up. It's like sacred alphabet. If you really, really care. They reference it a couple times in some of their songs. But yeah. So yeah, no rings. No, go figure.
Yeah. Maybe one.
There were 36 chambers, though.
Yeah, that, see, I'm glad they at least explained that, but unfortunately this was not called the 36 Chambers of Wu-Tang. It was called the Nine Rings thereof.
Well, there are other Wu-Tang comics, I believe, and I think, oh yes, there's like two others at least.
Oh, how come we didn't read those?
This is the first one I found, I'm sorry.
Comparable.
No, it's fine.
Where's the one where they find a phantom in the park? Oh, that's Kiss. Where's the one where they like solve mysteries in a van?
That's also
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo? Scooby-Kiss? See, all these things are just much more interesting, unfortunately.
I'm trying to find the other comics now, but I know that it exists.
Are they supposed to be good? Like, that doesn't show up on worst comics of all time list, does it?
Well, I think not showing up on that list doesn't mean you're good.
Does it show up on the list of most mediocre comics of all time? Most stunningly adequate comics?
Oh my god, you guys.
What?
So I'm trying to look up more of the like Wu-Tang comics, and I found a list of the worst nine hip-hop comics. There is a Punisher and Eminem crossover.
Why are we not reading that? Can we make, let's make this a 5 episode.
You can audible that.
That legitimately sounds terrible.
Well, it is on the worst 9. Or wait, 6, worst 6.
I'm sure they could broaden it to 9. They could come up with some, with another 3. Like, I'm sure there's an NW. Oh, you know what? Actually, now that reminds me. Somewhere in here, god damn it, now I'm going to end up spending the rest of the night looking for it, but somewhere in here is an NWA reference. Like, they were talking about different worlds or something, and one of them was like, oh no, different cities, and one of them was called, like, NWAR or something like that. They just added an extra letter to it to hide the that they were making fun of another rap group.
Okay, I was going to say, it's a different rap group, right? Okay.
Yeah, NWA. I'm not going to say what that stands for. But yeah, they were just talking. Oh.
Not white assholes?
Close. They had attitude. That's the part that I feel explaining.
And one of those people with attitude.
NWA, and I got a good kick out of that. And now that I'm looking at the cover of one of these, I wanted to point out, doesn't Ghostface Killah, doesn't he look an awful lot like Raven from Teen Titans?
God, now that you mention it.
Yeah, like especially there's a panel where he's got his cloak all pulled about him or whatever. I think it's in the second issue. And I'm just like, holy shit, she teleported it into another comic. Another worse comic.
I don't know. There's some pretty bad Teen Titan comics.
This level of bad?
Pretty close. You should listen to our Teen Titan series.
Some of those were good.
The older one was not so good.
No.
The original one with Trigon.
So I did a bit of looking around. I know there's at least one other comic. It was never published, but was leaked on the internet. It's called Woo Massacre.
For a second, before I remembered it was Wu-Tang, I thought I heard Womb but Massacre.
Me too. I was like, that's...
Oh god, it's the Red Wedding!
Oh no!
It's a comic about...
Aww. Soon.
Yeah. I feel like Womb Massacre is still
not, like, so far out of the ballpark from what we've just read, that it would be, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, the star of that comic would be GZA.
Okay. Womp womp. That was a good joke, though, I have to admit.
I couldn't help it.
That was, like, comment of the night.
Yes, I win one.
I honestly can't think of another thing to say about this comic. I'm even going through, like, this is the one thing that's good about reading them on a program or whatever, is that I can thumb through them and still be paying attention to what you guys are saying. And I cannot, like, I'm thumb through it now trying to find more stuff. Inspector Deck looks like one of the ninjas from G.I. Joe. I always get them mixed up. Other than that,
he looks like Storm Shadow.
Yeah!
Storm
Shadow.
That's the one. I could not think of his name. I bet you he put that in his contract. And, you know, honestly, other than that, I can't think of a single positive thing to say.
Well, when he first appeared, like, when Inspector Deck first appeared in the comic, I was totally confused because his costume looks really modern.
Mm.
And I was like, did we just time travel?
Oh, yeah. And, like, he's having the nightmare about stealing things, but he's just wearing, like, a hoodie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was really confused by that one.
Deck's costume changes between episode one or episode, god damn, I'm not gonna do it again, issue one and two. Even it changes, like, sometimes he has the metal mask, sometimes he has no mask, sometimes he has a little cloth mask. Continuity in fact, wow, yeah, even within a couple of pages it changes. When they're all mind controlled and fighting one another, he just at some point, I guess, decides to put on his rebreather in case he jumps into water and needs to scuba dive.
That bit with them fighting each other felt like fucking Dragon Ball Z to me.
Yeah.
That lasted like three issues, I swear. Or at least in my mind, it lasted three issues of them, like, being in that, like, at the foot of the weird mountain saying, I must be the one to destroy you. And they're just, like, saying it together and just, like, standing in a circle.
It didn't, in fact, span two issues. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I have an inappropriate question.
That's gonna be amazing after all the stuff I've said about GZA.
This comic uses the term Klansman often. I want to know, okay, it's spelled differently and it makes sense because it's the Wu-Tang Clan.
Or Clan, yeah.
Is that a thing people say, or is that, like, an oversight in this comic? Was this purposeful?
I don't know, but I had the exact same reaction when I think, like, in issue two is the first time they're like, and the Klansmen headed out to the hills. I was like, ooh, phrasing.
Yeah.
It had to, I mean, maybe, honestly, maybe I'm gonna take the positive tip and say, you know, maybe it was positive, maybe they were trying to reclaim the word or something, I don't know, but yeah, that was
okay. I'm really glad I'm not the only one who was like, what? Because I was just like, this is a very potentially offensive question.
Sorry, I'll tell you right now, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I was like, well, I saw that, I'm not going to be the one to mention it. I'm just going to let it slide. But no, you got it correct. And I was just like, this is...
I'm going to put it out there. I am ignorant on this matter, and I'm very curious as to whether or not that's, like, an intentional thing, or just, like, they don't even give a shit, or what, like...
Is that something they call each other? Like, Klansmen, or...?
I think only the narrator, like, third-person omniscient, did it.
No, I mean, like IRL, do any of the Wu-Tang Clan members call themselves...
Not that I've ever noticed.
Okay.
I mean, hey, they were big... late 90s, like 99 and early 2000s, and at that point I was listening to, like, fucking Linkin Park. I was in a dark time. Those were my dark days. So I don't know, maybe at that time they were, but by the time I started listening, I discovered them, like, maybe I think 5 years ago, something like that. I didn't know. So in that time, not so much. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing to mention, I really love the fact that Old Dirty Bastard's character, ODB, is Osiris, and he's legit insane. As I mentioned before we started recording, like, I like the, like, you get, like, Beck, and you know, Beck Hansen is a sane guy who's just playing crazy for the cameras or whatever, but ODB was legitimately insane. Like, we, the jury, find this person to be insane. And so I like that, you know, what little coherent plot this comic has revolves around, we're afraid our friend Osiris is going crazy. What's causing that?
That is kind of interesting how, like, that's something they were mindful to carry over, maybe?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, let's do the regular stuff. What was your guys' favorite scenes? Did you have one?
Well, I'll go first. Because I can tell you for sure. It was very definitely that first issue. Like, that first issue does a pretty darn good job. Why am I saying darn good job? It does a pretty damn good job of setting up the what's going to happen and making you think, oh, there's going to be all these great scenes going on. And that's basically the high point. You know what I mean? After that, it's all downhill from there. Like, honestly, when ODB, and I don't even think of him as Osiris. I like to think of him as the actual old dirty bastard is in this comic. And he's facing down that one-armed guy. He's like, I will not die. I will live. I will not tell you my secrets. I'm like, you go. That is good job. Good for you. And there's that nice little scene like, you can die in silence because I don't want your secrets. I just want you dead. I was like, all right, this is cool. I'm into this. And man, just the rest of it was so bad. I'm not even joking. There was no redeeming. Like, I'm generally a pretty positive person, and I can polish a turd until it gleams and find something to enjoy about it. This had nothing enjoyable. It's so bizarrely rare. But yeah, that one, that first issue set the table nicely, and then just like, fuck it, we're gonna do what we want to do.
All right, I gotta say my favorite is actually in issue 5 when the monk dude who doesn't get a name, basically tells the scientist, "Yeah, I've just been fucking with you, but hey, I got a free trip to the Grand Canyon, right?" And then he's like, "Hey, you want to take me down to the bottom of the waterfall for shits and giggles?" And he's like, "Yeah, fuck it, why not?" And there's another dude down there, and Monk God's like, "Hey, this is my friend Silver Bear. He wants to hang with you for a bit. That cool?"
Sure.
But it's also like, how the fuck did you know Silver Bear was going to be there? Because my understanding before was that this guy was like trapped in the scabbard of the sword or something. Like, he's like the sword genie because he's just magic, like poofed though. Out of the sword.
He's magic. That's the answer.
Right, so then, like, is Silver Bear magic too? Because he doesn't do anything magical.
Well, he doesn't.
He has like a tent with like drugs in it.
Yeah. he takes a scientist into the Matrix.
But like that stuff aside, I really just like the minute where they're both like, fuck it. Yeah, I'm fucking with you. That's cool. I had nothing better to do anyway.
I can almost imagine the writer at this point was just like, they were like, all right, here's the things you need to do. He's like, sure, why not? I don't even care.
I really genuinely like that scene, and I have no good explanation. I just like the fuck it mentality of the characters. That felt legitimately genuine.
I have an idea. It's a hermit who lives in the Grand Canyon. There's a waterfall there, isn't there? Sure, Rizzo. There is now, just for you.
And he looks exactly like the bad guy.
Yeah.
That might have just been laziness on their part. Like, you know what? I don't want to bother with a second character design. We're just going to recycle it.
So I'm going to say the other controversial item. All the white guys in this comic look the exact same.
Well, I mean, that's...
just like, straight up, they look the exact same.
That's accurate to real life. I mean...
Yeah, white people all look the same to me, too.
I mean, me and Nick are damn near identical.
I look in the mirror sometimes when I get out of the shower and go, damn, Andy, when'd you get here? Dun-da-da-da.
David gets that experience half the time.
Yeah, that was a thing too. I will say this though, it was actually kind of like I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, all the white people in this comic are so terribly characterized, and then I thought, oh my god, now I know what it's like for everyone else to read a comic book. And so Honestly, I want to believe that was their intention, but I honestly don't feel like they were competent enough to, like they're fantastic artists. The Wu-Tang Clan, RZA is a lyrical genius. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting in the least, but when it comes to writing comics, not very good. And so on the one hand, like I realize that was unintentional, but it was kind of nice to go like, so this is what it's like to not be white for a change. I hope that didn't come off as racist, but I don't
know. No, that came off as kind of poignant.
Yay! Well, then again, though, I mean, here's the thing. I established this last time. Were most of us white? David, I know now, is white. He's mostly not Mexican, gentlemen. But, I mean, that's the sort of thing that we were like, yeah, of course it sounds poignant to me, but I'm sure out there in podcast land, there's one or two people going, fucking white people. He's gonna go watch an episode of Wings after this. I've got things to take care of.
I'm kind of white, but I will say the main difference is that you didn't have to grow up pondering Jubilee. Fuck Jubilee.
I liked her, but then again, I mean, I was 9 when I don't know how old I was when that cartoon came out and I learned about Jubilee and I liked her.
But she's not Asian in the cartoon. She's white in the
And she's like, she's literally yellow in the older comics. So, like, I didn't know she was Asian.
Well, you're supposed. I think in the cartoon we had this discussion before. I think in the cartoon you're supposed to know because she's wearing a yellow coat, like
I think
the yellow
had this
Power Rangers.
Last week
we did.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We've had this discussion multiple times.
Let's move on.
Did the mall baby chili fries?
Yeah. Did any of you not give a favorite scene yet? David?
I think only Nick did.
No, I did too, the waterfall crap.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
I
like the cover for number 3. Wait.
Oh, yeah, Ghostface Killa and what's his name? Looking all badass?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
yeah.
I like the cover for number 5. Nothing but circle boobs and an axe. That's what I need.
That was where she got all of her characterization. Come on.
Well, it's Ghostface Killer and his shadow boxing, because he's a Shaolin shadow.
Oh, yeah, I forget that was, like, put in there for 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah!
The whole description of the shadow boxers.
Well, there's a song where they talk about shadow boxing.
The mystery of shadow boxing. Jen mentioned that much, much earlier.
Chess boxing. Which is a real sport, by the way. Chess boxing is a real sport.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah, you do a round of boxing, and then you have to play a round of speed chess.
Holy
and
fuck.
The boxing fucks you up in the head, so it's really hard to play chess. It's really interesting. You should read up on it.
Oh my god, I'm writing this.
How much chess do you have to play between rounds of boxing? Oh, or is it just like it's 3 minutes of speed chess, 3 minutes of boxing?
I think it's like that. Okay. You know, actually, BuzzFeed has a really good article on it, which is like but...
BuzzFeed actually does do some good stuff.
They do some decent long-form journalism, and I think the title of this article is actually The Mystery of Chess Boxing. It's on BuzzFeed. It's really interesting. It's a real sport. And I guess it's like...
Never mind you calling in life.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's big in, like, Europe or something. It was hard to monetize in the States. There's a whole thing.
Jen, you have solved all of my problems, because I've been getting hounded at work to join or start a new committee and contribute to the company. But I work on a campus, so now I can contribute by advising a new student club. I'm going to start a chess boxing club.
The insurance on that will be monumental.
Oh, please. We have like 3 hockey teams. I'm sure we can do a chess boxing. We have a boxing team, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, there you go.
Just get the same guys to play chess in between.
Yeah. Or get some nerds.
Oh, you know, I feel kind of bad. We've not mentioned clearly the greatest character. That random, I guess he's... They again, no name. He's that witch or whatever who shows up and just starts telling them mystical things at some point and says no.
The guy with the red
7 O's and 2 exclamation points.
Oh, God, yes. There's so much no!
No! And then he cries in the rain and asks what you humans will do.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that guy?
Don't know.
I completely forgot.
Wait, are you talking about the guy who disappeared into the beetle?
Wait, did he? Oh, yeah, he did. Wait, was he the same beetle? No, never mind. I was
He's not the beetle that gets eaten.
There's a character who eats beetles for some reason. Because, again,
evil
RZA tells you to do it, you do it. And I thought he may have eaten the dude, but I guess not. I don't fucking know.
Well, he says he is the way, so is he...
Yeah, that
is
guy.
Is he the Buddha? Is he...
The Dao. Well, the way is the Dao.
The Dao, but I mean...
Maybe his name is Dao.
Is he the younger version of the sword guy?
You know, I was thinking so, but they don't have the same tattoo markings. So, I mean, he could be, and, you know, I mean, you know, heaven forbid someone should, in 711 AD, between then and 2000, no, this was 1999 when this came out, between that 1200 year period, maybe he got a tattoo. I mean, that's the only explanation I can think of.
Well, and never mind, this comic does have pitch perfect continuity between issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, characters don't change costumes between panels. I don't know what you're talking about.
I had a favorite
all right.
scene. Those fucking cops.
Yeah!
Those guys were pretty great.
But, like, it was weird, too, because it seemed like they tried to do the critique where it's like, you know, cop treats dude unfairly. So the cop, you know, comes to the door to answer the 911 call, and he's like, can I see ID? Like, he doesn't believe that the professor lives there. But then they just dismiss it, and he's, like, stealing the guy's cookies and tea, and, like, they just drop the whole, like, kind of weird racial tension that was at the start of the encounter. And then he's like, story time, I totally believe this, and this, like, this old man with a sword.
It's like, tell me what happens next!
Yeah, there's no credulity there, it's amazing.
See, I think it goes from one stereotype to the other, and the two stereotypes of cops aren't congruent with each other. Like, you can be the super aggressive racist cop, but it takes so much energy to be that cop that that's not the same cop, that's not the fat, donut-eating, lazy cop. So it's like, they start out with, like, the racist, aggressive cop, and they're like, no, that's too much of a statement for this comic. Let's make him the lazy, donut-eating cop. And they completely, like, change modes. The problem is that those are two fundamentally different kinds of people.
You're absolutely... Yeah, no, I just noticed that myself. I'm looking at it now, and it's like they start off kind of like, well, Professor Gates, I don't believe you actually live here. And then it's like, tell me a story. This is basically what Song of the South should have been. Just that one guy. Actually, and you know what? Now that I think about it, though, that monk's a white guy, isn't it?
I don't know.
Dubious ethnicity. He's like a Johnny Quest villain. He's got whatever ethnicity he needs as his ethnicity. He looks vaguely...
So, Nick and David, how much Wu-Tang have you guys listened to?
On
a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being had the Wu-Tang Clan symbol as a Facebook cover or profile picture at some point in your lifetime. That's a 10.
Probably about a 3 or 4. I've listened to a couple albums. And Liquid Swords, if you ever get a chance, that's a very good one.
Oh, that's RZA's album, right?
Yeah, well, so that's the thing, is that in addition to being a group, they all do a bunch of solo stuff. And actually, I think isn't it GZA? I think GZA is Liquid Swords.
Oh, yeah, I think
yeah. Gosh, get it right, man. No, your privilege is showing. they are all the same dude. No, but I mean, that's the thing, is they're all even the solo stuff is very similar to the group stuff. I've listened to a couple. I followed them on Facebook for a long time, but then I realized, my God, it's the same. First off, there's like 40 messages a day. I'm like, how can anyone be that prolific? And then also, it's just always the same stuff. So I was like, because, you know, when you follow someone, you kind of want to hear new stuff. Like, hey, what are you doing in the studio now? And it's just like, no, it's like, it's Wednesday, time for Woo Mammy Wednesdays. I'm like, I don't want to see more people's tattoos. So yeah, I'd say like, you know, like 3 or 4. Like, I didn't catch them as they were going through, or, you know, the big time. As I said, those were my dark days, and I fully admit to that. But yeah, so 3 or 4.
David?
I don't know. I've been listening to. I didn't listen to them much when they were coming up, like Nick did, but I like their music, you know. I'd probably listen to them. I have like a little playlist I made on Spotify, which is kind of like their greatest hits type of thing. I'd probably listen to that like once a week, maybe.
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't name all their songs and stuff, but I like them. They're one of my favorite rap groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say like a 6. I mean, I don't know much about them aside from, you know, just their music. You know, that's like my whole exposure to them is just listening to their music. You know.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's hard to.
It's hard to quantify, really, because the thing is, like, as soon as you meet, like, it's one of those things where as soon as you meet an actual like hardcore fan, you immediately bump yourself down. Like a couple of times, I've been into things and be like, "Hey, this is really cool," so I'm gonna go see this thing, and then I meet people who are like, okay, confession time. Well, not even confession. I'm proud of it. I love the crap out of Once Upon a Time, and so I've gone to Comic-Con the last couple of years, and so I'll go to the panel. And then when I meet people who are, like, super into that show, and they follow everyone, and, like they're live-tweeting the panel, I'm like, okay, I'm not into it nearly as much as you are. And they know everyone by their first name, and that's always struck me as crazy. And so, like, I like the Wu-Tang Clan. I like rap. I like all this stuff. It took me a while to come back around to it. Like, I listened to a lot of rap in, like, the early 90s. I owned The Chronic and all that kind of stuff. And then I went through a period where, like, ugh. But that's the thing, is I think I'm more than I am. That's why I rate myself like a 3 or a 4, because I'm just being realistic here. The minute I meet like an actual like someone with a Wu-Tang Clan symbol tattoo, I'll just go like, oh yeah, I guess it was a 3 or 4 all along.
Okay, I'm asking mostly because when you guys mentioned the shadow boxing thing and said that was actually referenced in a song, I was thinking maybe. Maybe the problem is that none of us are big enough fans. Like, obviously, obviously this whole thing is fan service, right?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that's necessarily the case, because I think if it was a good comic, we would just know because we would have, like, it was well written and stuff like that. And it's not well written. It's not well put together, you know? So I don't necessarily think that, you know, that has much to do with it.
Yeah, like, even fans of the like, I've read a couple reviews because it's like, wow, how bad is this? And so, the couple reviews I've read is even people who love their, I almost said even people who love the Clan. That's wrong. No, even people who love their music are just like, this is, as I said, this is some kind of awful. Yeah, and I feel bad just slagging on it. Like, I want to say if RZA, GZA, MZA, any of them hear me talking about this, I want to say right now, I respect your passion. I respect the fact that you put a hell of a lot of effort into this. But please stick to, well, A, number one, make Man with the Iron Fist 2, because that movie was badass. But B, number two, just stick to the music, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Michael Jordan playing baseball. He's good at basketball, and he doesn't need to cross over into other things. Like, I think what happened is, you know, they're probably fans of comics, and they were like, you know what would be cool? Let's make a comic. And it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I had that fleeting thought, but I'm glad that you did research, Nick. It shows how little you've guessed it on the show that you actually did research.
I do homework. What it is, I'm so paranoid that I'm gonna fuck this thing up that I'm like, well, I'm gonna read the homework and I'm gonna type in. Actually, if you ever want a good type in comics rule everything around me, that's the general like thing about hip hop and comics. So you can go ahead and look up that. But yeah, I mean, I do my homework.
Right.
I don't want to disappoint you. I want my trophy. I don't want you to smash that thing before I get it.
Ah, fuck! You can't get it this weekend because I'm gonna be busy moving. Or no, not this weekend. No, it's next weekend. I don't know. You might get it this weekend.
All right.
We shall see. Anyway, you guys want to just break down and rate it? We can mention the art. The art was hit and miss. We mentioned it a little bit before. Circle boobs. That's all I noticed anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get down and rate it. How about you go first, Jim?
done. No. A wand? It was really not coherent. It took a lot of effort to piece together this plot they were trying to convey. And it's unfortunate because I think the base plot that's in there was actually a pretty decent premise for a comic. It fit well with, like, you know, the spell and sword kind of stuff, the mysticism that they had. Sure, like, no problem. It's just, it was very disjointed and didn't convey its information well at all. And I think that it's really awesome that people would, like, want to take themselves and make themselves into comics characters. Like, why the heck not? That's a really, like, that is, I think, a very, like, fun and reasonable thing to do. It just, we didn't see any of, like, who these characters were. And, like, I was hoping to get this comic that was, like, that would kind of brief me on the Wu-Tang Clan. because I don't know anything about them. Like, the most I ever listened to them was this week. I watched a couple YouTube videos. So I was hoping for something that would, like, introduce me and be like, oh, this is fun. These guys have, like, a cool sense of creativity. They want to put themselves in comics. I like that. But it was just really disjointed. And the thing is, it wasn't even confusing, because once you, like, launch into confusion, maybe I can be like, well, I'm dumb. I don't know what's happening. But no, I knew what was happening. I just could perceive that it was so poorly cobbled together. It just, that was unfortunate. So a one.
Okay. David?
Yeah, I mean, as far as comics go, this one's not, it's not that good. If somebody said, hey, should I read this? I would probably say, yeah, I read it for the lulls, because it's just, it's not good. So, but that's not a knock against Wu-Tang, because I do like their music. Like, I could say that with sincerity. I just don't like their comic books, so let's just go with a 1.5. I'm going to give it a 1.5 because I feel bad.
All right, I'm going to give it a 1, because this was, I think, in multiple ways, this was quantifiably and qualitatively better than Spawn. So whatever I gave Spawn, I want to definitely give this a better rating, and I feel like giving it a 1, I can confidently say that this is better than Spawn, but at the bottom of the list. And like I said, I feel like there are, like, 3 comics we've read that I actually like less than this. So, I don't know, I probably gave those 1 or 1.5. I don't remember. Either way, 1 for all the things we've talked about. It's just, I don't know what the fuck was going on here. There's just so much random shit, and it's just like, half of these ideas would have been good. You could have stopped. You only needed half of them. You don't have to put, like, if you know you've got, like, a 25-issue run, you don't have to put every idea up front. You can pace yourself.
It almost makes you wonder what they would have done if they had gotten, like, 20 issues. And they're like, well, we blew through all of our ideas in the first 5. Sorry, guys.
That would have been hilarious if, like, at the end it was just a bunch of boring stuff, like them just hanging out and talking in front of a waterfall while they were shitting each other the whole time.
Well, okay, so I'll go next. Yep. I'm actually going to give it a 2, and I'll tell you the exact reason why is the first issue. Like, the first issue had such promise. Like, I would almost tell people, if they asked, like David said, if someone asked me if this was worth reading, I would say, read issue number 1. Did I say number 2? Oh, no, I said my number was 2. Sorry. Read issue number 1, and then just write your own comic after that. Like, the idea, like, let that introduce all of your characters. Because, I mean, isn't that a good introduction of some of the characters? That's pretty rad. The rest of it is just so god-awful bad, it's not even worth reading it as a joke. And then the other reason I give it a 2 is because you can tell they put a lot of effort into this. Like, they were being sincere, and I give people credit, like I did with Ecstatics, with, I don't remember which one, I gave them credit because they weren't, you know, let's be ironic or whatever, they tried something, and it didn't work. it very much did not work. But they tried, and I respect that, because I've never tried a damn thing in my life.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing, is you can tell that there is a certain amount of love for something in this. That's,
yeah.
That's a redeeming quality that I can say for sure.
A 1, 2, 1.5s, and a 2. Wow.
Anyway. Wasn't great.
Yeah, no. So this is about as...
That's a wonderful way to start off our comics about music-themed heroes. Because I feel like this whole arc's going to be like this. So we're in for something great. Because next week, we're going to read Justice League of America's Vibe. This is the new 52 relaunch of Vibe because everybody demanded it.
Wait, Vibe got a relaunch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's from Justice League Detroit from back in the day.
Yeah, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I thought we were reading the old stuff. This is going to be exciting. Yeah.
Didn't they use him a bunch in the Justice League cartoon? Like, he would just always be in the background?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, and be like, we need people to take care of this thing off screen. You, and Vibe, you all three go.
It's like there's Vibe, actually... Gypsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the episode with Booster Gold when Martian Manhunter is picking his team, he picks Vibe over Booster Gold.
Yeah.
Poor Booster.
But Vibe is one of those characters who is a fan favorite in that everybody likes seeing him, pointing him out in the background, and shitting on him, so... I can't wait to see the new 52 relaunch, which actually might be surprising because it was written by Andrew Kreisberg, who I don't know, and Jeff Johns, who is pretty good at relaunching things, actually. So this will be interesting. It collects the first 10 issues of the run. If you want to know exactly which ones I'm talking about, because it's not Vibe, it's Justice League of America's Vibe. I don't know if it was the beginning of a new run or if it was a self-contained 10-issue like maxi series, I think they call them. I don't know. If you want to know exactly what we're reading, though, we're going to buy the trade that's linked to. There's a little Amazon link under the picture of the trade on our website, www.apsupercast.com. On the right, there's a button that says Future Shows. You click on that, you'll see the little picture of the comics, see the link, and that's what we're reading. We're reading those 10 issues in that trade that we're linking to on our website. If you have a recommendation for what we can read coming up, go ahead and send us an email at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Jen, where can they find us on social media?
They can find us at apsupercast.tumblr.com, facebook.com/apsupercast.
Yeah.
And I think we have a Twitter, which is at APSupercast.
Yeah! 3 for 3.
Ah, I've been paying attention.
And I did all of that so that Nick can tell you where to subscribe to us. It's iTunes.
Wait.
Say iTunes.
Sure. Well, he said iTunes. You know, I don't even have iTunes on my computer, right?
Then you can subscribe on Stitcher, my friend.
Can I subscribe?
Only requires a phone, but you don't even have a smartphone. You have a...
Isn't there that thing called Podcast Republic, which like is a thing that clones iTunes and Android?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Podcast Republic.
iTunes website, which is atomicpoweredsupercast.com, right?
Yeah, there's. And you can subscribe to our RSS feed if you want, Nick.
You have what's an RSS feed? That's not a joke.
You are my favorite Luddite. Because you don't. You're not like. I have friends who actively try to be Luddites, who just like, I don't want to learn to text. Like, people who are like in their early 30s, like, I don't want to learn to text. It's just, it's not my thing. I don't want to do it. I don't want to learn smartphones. It's too tricky. There's too many buttons.
The transition from typing with your fingers to typing with your thumbs is a big jump. It's a jump.
But I think you're my favorite Luddite because you just don't know.
And it
doesn't matter to you. You can still play Saints Row with a dumb phone.
You know what? I up until a couple years ago, I still sent people letters through the mail.
Dude.
Wow.
Send me a letter. I'll send you one back.
Give me when you get your new apartment. Tell me. I will send you the first. In fact, if you give me your... Do it offline, obviously. You don't want people stalking you. But if you send it to me right now, I will send you a letter tomorrow, and it will be at your new apartment by the time you guys move in.
Nick, I have a wonderful idea, and you will get it in my letter back to you after you send me your first letter.
Are you guys going to become pen pals?
Yes. We are going to become pen pals, but a special kind of pen pals. And not dirty pen pals. Don't put your mind there.
Are we going to be God. Never mind.
Yeah, we're going to be like God. Don't worry, you'll see. It'll be great. Anyway, that's it for this week, everybody. Until next week, goodbye!
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you for having me again.
Jesus Christ, that was some kind of episode.